Britain is joining the U.S. in urging some diplomats to leave Ukraine as fears of a Russian invasion mount. NATO is considering sending additional battle groups to its Eastern European allies, and President Biden is weighing a plan to send not just military equipment, but also several thousand U.S. troops to Eastern Europe. Joining us now is Melinda Herring. She's Deputy Director of the Atlantic Council's Eurasia Center. And Melinda, good to have you.
Thanks, Anthony. Great to be with you.
I want to start with your analysis of President Biden's challenge here, because it seems like he's caught between two pressure points. On the one hand, after years of fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, there's fatigue around war. But on the other, he faces criticism that he hasn't done enough to put enough pressure on Putin. What's your analysis of what's happening?
I think you nailed it, Anthony. Biden has to get Ukraine right. After Afghanistan, he can't afford another screw-up. We have major elections this fall, and he's got to get it right. If Ukraine really escalates, this will be the biggest land war since World War II. So the stakes are very, very high.
Indeed. So is it too little too late for President Biden to be sending troops into Eastern Europe, a couple of thousand or so, or should he send them at all? What's your take?
So Biden has ruled out sending boots on the ground, but he hasn't ruled out using U.S. ships and planes. And if we're smart and we send the right air and naval capabilities now, we may be able to deter Putin. I wouldn't focus on the number. You know, right now there's this leak about 1,000 to 5,000 troops. It's really about the capabilities.
So when you talk about capabilities, what are you referring to? What are the kinds of capabilities that Biden should be considering?
So I would encourage President Biden to deploy U.S. ships and planes to Eastern Europe, which increases our ability for long-range strikes if it comes to it, to keep up that good intelligence sharing that we're doing with the Ukrainians now, to increase special forces in Ukraine and surrounding countries, and increase the size and capabilities of the Marine Task Force in Romania. But Anthony, if we're really smart and clever, we can do some more things. The U.S. has an aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean now, and we haven't said what it's doing. Let's make it known. This aircraft carrier is there because of what's happening in Ukraine. It'll drive the Russians crazy.
Are we moving, though, perilously close to something? I mean, you alluded to this as being a potentially huge conflict. And with more troops that could soon be in the area on both sides, does that mean we are moving dangerously close to some kind of a hot war?
We are getting closer and closer to war. We are not there yet. If you look at the signs on the ground, there are up to probably 120,000 to 140,000 Russian troops that surround Ukraine on three sides. But the logistical units are not in place. The troops are not in place. The fuel's not in place. And the military hospitals are not in place yet for a full-scale land invasion. But yes, we are getting much, much closer to war. And that's a terrible thing. And it needs to be avoided at all costs. And in my view, deterrence is the best way to do that.
Well, let me ask you about the Europeans. Europe is not entirely united in its approach to Russia because nations like Germany, for example, are dependent on Russian natural gas. What are you seeing and hearing that most worries you as NATO tries to push back against Russia?
That's a great question. There's a lot of weird things coming out of Germany right now. And I think this is a great opportunity for President Biden to get on an airplane and go rally Europe around a unified position in opposition to Russian aggression. And I think he needs to have a short-term plan, which is renewed American troop deployments to Europe. We only have 40,000 troops in Europe. As one of my friends likes to say, that's less than a college football stadium. And Biden should also have a long-term plan to end Europe's dependence on Russian gas. It's time to kill the Nord Stream 2 pipeline now. Germany won't be happy, but it has to be done.
I want to ask you about the position that Vladimir Putin is in and whether he's sort of boxed himself in. I mean, you've written that he doesn't have enough troops there for a land invasion. Does that in some way ease your concerns about an invasion, a possible invasion?
No, absolutely not. I'm extremely worried. If he wants to ramp things up, he could ramp things up easily by February. One of the concerns that military guys have is that the ground is not frozen. It's been a mild winter in Europe, so it's harder to roll tanks in. But Putin has a lot of options, Anthony. He doesn't have to do a full-scale land invasion. He could do a cyber attack. He could take out the heat and power in Ukraine and try to assassinate Zelensky and put in a pro-Russian government. That's entirely possible, and I think that they have many, many different plans that they're considering.
And what about the more traditional approach of diplomacy, sanctions? Have they entirely failed? Or are we really at a moment where we need a new approach in the West to take on Russia?
We need a new approach to take on Russia, absolutely. So I would say diplomacy is on life support. We're still trying. We should continue to try. It's probably going to amount to a conversation between Biden and Putin. But right now, there's time. While the Russians don't have the troops in place and all those logistical systems ready, we need to increase the U.S. presence in Europe now to deter Vladimir Putin.
All right. That's Melinda Herring. She's deputy director of the Atlantic Council's Eurasia Center. Melinda, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.